One.
Welcome back to the Midcasters. I'm Jalen, and this is
your favorite movie reviewer and comic book reviewer, Craig.
And today we're going to talk all things Star Wars movies and what has us excited recently that has been announced in Hollywood. So let's dive into Star Wars as it is May 4th weekend. May the 4th be with you. So, Craig, do you have some favorite Star Wars movies and least favorite?
I actually just did a ranking because I watched the first three when I got home last night. And then today, before the podcast, actually, I watched,
God, what is it? The Force Awakens. I did not know I was going to love that so much. That's actually number two. And my very first one is, of course, Rogue One.
Of course, that is my favorite one as well. And Empire Strikes Back as number two. But I am excited for what Jon Favreau is going to be doing with The Mandalorian and Grogu. It's been a long time since he's directed a movie.
The Mandalorian is on my list and I need to watch it. I just need to finish. I am still on the Clone Wars series. I think I'm almost on season six. I think I'm close to season six. But yeah, it's a pretty far journey.
It's been on my list for a while. I mean, I'm more of like an Andor person because I felt like 12 was a sweet spot, and I feel like a lot of shows need to be like that. But the thing with Star Wars is that it always starts off super slow, but increasingly gets better. But I do love Obi-Wan. I feel like not a lot of people like it, though.
I don't think Obi-Wan is bad. Yeah, it's just that the pacing.
Yeah, the first episode's really slow for whatever reason. But I always kept thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, Carrie Fisher would absolutely love Little Leia.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad times, sad times. I did see Phantom of the Menace, though, in theaters last night. That was pretty fun.
I think, I absolutely, with a burning passion, freaking hate that one. That is my least favorite one.
Honestly, that's valid. But I do like Darth Maul. It's just a wasted character, in my opinion. But there was an opportunity for him to come back in Solo or after Solo. But maybe one day we'll get like a series or a movie about Darth Maul. But I think my least favorite one would be Rise of the Jedi?
I've heard a lot of people hate that one.
Yeah, I was like, why did Kylo just kiss Rey? It's not working for me. And then the one before that, once I saw Carrie Fisher like kind of fly through space, I checked out. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, a lot of people were like, what the fuck? That's the one I was going to watch that next. And then when I was checking through the films, I was like, oh, Rogue One came out after The Force Awakens. Even though that's not the order, I was just like, I've heard a lot of good things about Rogue One, and it came out a year after, and I just watched that one instead. And that one, that's number one for me.
Oh, yeah. Diego Luna really knocked it out of the park, and you have Felicity Jones. Obviously we know how his story ends, but I'm still excited for Andor, and it's just very refreshingly different, which is what I felt like they needed, because they need a break away from the Star Wars or the Skywalker saga, which is why I'm excited for Taika Waititi's movie and all the other movies, not the one with Rey, but like all the other movies that are like kind of before Skywalker.
Yeah. That's why I really like Rogue One so much is because it focuses on the little guy, which is the rebels, and kind of shows that not all of the heroes in the Star Wars franchise carry a lightsaber.
True, true. Rebellions are built on hope. And that's my favorite line. And I teared up when I did see her, Carrie Fisher's Leia, return, even though it's not technically her.
Yeah.
But it was super enjoyable. But let's move on to our next segment, The Fall Guy, which has made around $28 million for this weekend, which is very sad. But it is expected because it is a rom-com. But you saw it. What did you think of The Fall Guy?
It's funny because I wasn't even originally planning on seeing the film last night. Mm-hmm. I had plans with a coworker of mine, and then those plans got canceled. So I was just like, okay, well, let me just go to the movies. But I really enjoyed it. And what's his name? Winston Duke he plays a really good straight guy to Ryan Gosling's funny guy.
Oh my gosh, he was so good. I feel like all the characters complimented each other. Some of the jokes just didn't land for me, and that's okay because it was more leaning on the action side of things rather than the rom-com side of things. This is what Ghosted Wishes it was.
Yeah.
Calling out Apple TV for whatever that was. But I found it fun. I felt like there could have been better jokes because Ryan Gosling is funny. We've seen it in a lot of his movies. So
I don't think the comedy was, well, depending on who you are, the comedy might be hit or miss. There were a few times I was like, okay, that's funny. But it could have been way worse. I've seen some pretty cringy comedy in action films. And
that's true. I did appreciate that he was a former stuntman himself, the director. And I just kept thinking the entire movie. I was like, what if we get him and the guy who directed Extraction together to make a movie? Like, it would be the most epic action movie ever.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yes. I love action movies. I'm kind of sad, like, not a people went to go see it because, like, it's a good movie. It's a start to the summer. And it's just like, but maybe we see Fly Me to the Moon, which is another rom-com coming out in July, do better. And that has Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson. And that's about the race to the moon.
That was actually my first time watching that trailer.
Well, what do you think of the trailer? Hello?
I have no idea what I'm going to...
You cut out. You said you saw the trailer to Fly Me to the Moon?
Oh, yeah. I was saying that I have no idea what I'm going to expect from the film, but mm-hmm. I will be seated.
Oh, yes. I'm happy that Chris Evans is not in it. Because I saw a little article done by the director that once we see this movie, that we're going to want them in more films together. And I totally want that because, like, they're just two natural comedy experts, I think, in my opinion.
I haven't seen, I know Scarlett more for her dramatic roles. I don't think I've seen her in a comedy.
A good comedy with her is Rogue One, and that has Kate McKinnon, Zoe Kravitz, and her, and then some other folks in there. They're like on a bachelorette party. It's super fun. It's called Rough Night.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yes, that movie has me dying laughing, and it's the girl who writes the show on Comedy Network, Comedy Central. I can't remember her name. She's like, does it with her best friend. I can't remember it, but she's in it as well. She writes a lot of stuff. But this one's directed by a female, which I appreciate. Makes me realize we need her in more comedies. And I think she did an interview that, like, comedies are, like, the hardest thing to do. Just because there's not, like, a lot of good, unique scripts out there, which obviously is understandable. Because, like, rom-coms are usually carbon copies of themselves. Did I lose you? Hello? Hello. Did I lose you?
Okay, yeah, you're back now.
Okay. Do I need to repeat what I just said, or I don't even remember what I just said, to be honest.
Yeah, you said comedy is the hardest to do because of what?
Comedies are the hardest to do because there are not a lot of unique scripts out there, and they're usually just carbon copies of themselves. So it's just like, how are we going to stand out as a comedy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because we don't want carbon copies of themselves. We want unique, original films in theaters. I'm glad that more rom-coms are coming to theaters. I'm glad that we got kind of like a credit scene with the Fall Guy, and then we had it with Anyone But You. So maybe we'll kind of get it with Fly Me to the Moon, because I kind of enjoy films that do that.
I think like
blooper reels or something.
I really did enjoy the end credit scene for Fall Guy.
Oh yes. Somebody was like, oh, they should make a second one. Nope, we don't need a second one. Just leave it as it is.
Yeah, I think that's better as a one-off.
Oh gosh. But yes, rom-coms is the start of the summer with movies. Got so many other things coming up. But next up, we have Sony buying Paramount, which I did not have that on my bucket list this year. Surely interesting, but one thing I keep thinking about is like, will something happen with the Scream franchise? So maybe Spyglass isn't involved with it anymore. And Sony can like save it, and like Melissa Barrera can come back and all of that jazz. What do you think? And what do you think about the sell?
Honestly, the Scream franchise, they just need to just can that, throw that away. I don't care anymore. I mean, it would have been cool to see what would have happened with the Carpenter sisters, but fortunately, because of that whole Melissa's stance, I guess the studio thought that they didn't think that fans wouldn't have her back, and they were completely wrong. And I think she's doing better now without them than with them.
I agree. Scream was a good stepping stone for her. I had no idea she was in her 30s, but that's neither here nor there. I'm a big Scream fan. I love it. I mean, I didn't really like the New York one a whole heck of a lot, just because like I didn't know how it was going to do, because they usually take place in Woodsboro or somewhere else in California. And it's just like, I don't know. But I did see like this theory that maybe the script from the last two movies is essentially Gail writing a book. Mm. So like she's writing a book, like a fiction book. So then that way, technically Dewey would come back.
I don't like that.
I'm like, woo, that would be a way to write it out. Like that's smart. I always felt like they did a good job with us not knowing who the killer or killers were. It's just like, ooh, I didn't see that coming. It's like Scream 4. It was just how many kill scenes they had in the beginning, like 3 or 4. And I was like, okay, are we going to get there yet?
Yeah.
I like Scream 4, but I think it's interesting Sony's buying Paramount. Maybe that means Sony movies go on to Paramount Plus. I don't know. I mean, Paramount doesn't really have a lot of good franchises outside of Scream or Top Gun. Their movies don't make a lot. I mean, neither does Sony's. A lot of their movies flop. But surely interesting that they are looking to buy them.
Sony just needs aside from the Bad Boys movies, there's not really a whole lot in their repertoire when it comes to...
They have good one-offs.
Yeah.
That's about it. Good one-offs. They just need some good franchises, and maybe this is their goal as they start to create franchises, because now then they technically own the Transformers franchise. So maybe they have ideas with that. Who knows? kind of worried after seeing some of the Spider-Man movies that they've made. but it's going to be interesting. And next up, we have our first looks at Anthony Mackie's Captain America, his new uniform. What do you think of it?
Honestly, I'm not excited for the film at all, just because the constant delays with Marvel and just being completely burnt out from lackluster films, and and they have like they barely know where they're headed into the future, because Thanos was the end game. No, no pun intended, but that was the end plan, was Thanos. And then after that, they were just pumping stuff out.
Yeah. And you still have to blame the prior CEO of Disney, because they're still trying to get out from under that, the quantity over quality situation. I honestly don't understand why we need a Captain America 4. I would have preferred a second season of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because fans love them together. That was more of a grounded series with a lot of hand-to-hand action. It just felt like it fit, and plus you had more Sharon Carter. In this, they're just like rewriting it, but they're still filming it. I just don't understand how, why a lot of the characters are in there. I saw some like mock-ups of like his suit, and that it's like a flight suit situation. I don't know. And then you have a new Falcon. I just can't get on that train yet. I'll still see it because I love Harrison Ford, but it's just hard to... They're comparing it to Captain America 2. And if I had a dollar for every time they did that, I'd be rich.
That is just utterly hilarious that they're trying to... That's hilarious that they're trying to compare that to Winter Soldier. First of all, the film isn't even out yet.
Yeah, they said there was like some screenings or something, but I'm like, they're not even done filming it, so what are they screening? And maybe they're just referring to footage. I'm like, y'all remember when they compared Secret Invasion to that, right? And Maria Hill was killed in the first episode.
Yeah, and it's funny how they're spending like so much money
on shows,
but yet the quality still sucks.
Yeah, like Ironheart. We don't need an Ironheart movie. We don't need an Armor Wars movie, because that's essentially Iron Man 4, if you want to think about it. I mean, there's so many things that we don't need, and they're just like wasting money. And the buildup is not there because there's so many characters involved in Secret Invasion that it's kind of like this movie could have gone to somebody else. And that's just my opinion on that. And then you, on top of that, you have Chris Hemsworth saying that he thinks he owes fans a fifth Thor movie. No, we don't need it. We don't need a fourth Ant-Man movie. We don't need a fifth Thor movie. We don't need a fourth Captain America. We don't need a fourth Spider-Man movie. Whereas Black Widow only got one movie.
Like teaming up with Fantastic Four, like
you broke that'd up, be dope. By the way.
But I don't think that other than Spider-Man, the only other thing that fans kind of are looking forward to is maybe Fantastic Four and X-Men.
I'm excited for Thunderbolts, but I am worried about it just because they might try to do a Winter Widow situation. And in the comics, it's Bucky and Natasha. And Yelena is not like a relationship person or anything like that. So I'm like, why? You had the opportunity. We got to move on. We can't do that.
I think I don't know. That'd be weird.
Yeah, like Natasha and Bucky makes sense. Because even in the limited screen time they had fantastic chemistry. But like Yelena, I see more of like a brother-sister relationship, or they're like kicking John Walker's ass or something together. But that's about it. I am excited to see Ghost in Taskmaster again, because I felt like there was so much opportunity with Ghost. I'm like, when are we going to see her back?
They freaking wrong.
I liked the second one personally. And how you cut out, by the way, when you said, I think they're ruining.
Oh, I think they're ruining that Taskmaster and Ghost completely ruined them, in my opinion. I think Ant-Man has had the most disappointing villains. I mean, Kang was cool, but the way they handled him was so disappointing, because they built him up so great and Loki.
They did. I don't know. I don't felt like maybe Ant-Man probably wasn't the best place to introduce him, like movie-wise. But I get why they wanted to, because they went to the quantum realm. Like, I understand it, but I felt like maybe it could have been on the level of like Civil War. And maybe not have introduced him yet, because like they didn't even introduce Thanos until what?
At the end of... I mean, they showed the...
He's like, fine, I'll do it myself.
In the Avengers, they showed him in the end credit scene.
Yeah, I think they did it in the first Avengers movie, but he wasn't even introduced into the movies until, what, Infinity Wars? Hello? You cut out. You said they didn't introduce him into what? I think they introduced him in Infinity Wars, though. Like, officially on screen.
Yeah, and that was the very first time we saw him. I mean, we got a little glimpse in Ragnarok. We just saw a ship, but that was pretty much it. But yeah, you're right. Infinity War was the first time we actually saw him.
Yeah, and I felt like maybe they could have done something like that. And like the first time we technically would have seen him would have been Kang Dynasty, which would have made sense. I think they could have like alluded to him or gave him end credit scenes. Like the end credit scene in Ant-Man, that's good. But it could have been like a puppet he used to fight or something. It wouldn't have actually been Kang, if that would have made sense. Because like, it just seemed like a weird way to introduce him. And I feel like they have so many characters they want to introduce and so fast. Like, I was just like, I understand it's a buildup, but I don't think there's enough time for that buildup. So they're, I guess from reading is that they're considering Kang Dynasty, like the first Avengers movie, which would be like the 2012 one. And then Secret Wars would kind of be like Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It's hard. And they said like after that, they're going to do like a soft reboot. And I'm like, so you're telling me they're already going to want to recast Iron Man? I'm sorry. That's not how that works. Like maybe in like 60, 70 years from now, that's fine. But like right now, no, it's too, we got to move on from these characters. You can do variants, whatever. But like, no, you can't just like recast them. There's other characters in Marvel. There's tons of characters that they could do.
Now, I guess they don't even have a place for them, because I mean,
they said they said it on the retreat that they spent a retreat talking about it. So maybe they know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't even know where they're headed right now, but they need to figure out something.
I don't see where they're headed, but I trust Kevin Feige to clean it up. The show situation must be stopped because I'm over it. After Loki's good. Loki's a good show. But after Secret Invasion, you're telling me they spent $230 million on what? The salaries? Because I'm not seeing anything in the show. That is, you probably spent that on like Samuel L. Jackson, but that's it.
Yeah, I heard that one was easily skippable.
Oh, yeah. And Colby Smulders is like, this is the most in-depth I've ever been as Maria Hill. You died in the first episode. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's pretty, what's the word, disrespectful?
Mm-hmm. And I was like, so she's been in this for all this time, and you're going to sit there and you're going to disrespect her like that? I don't see it, but enough Marvel, because Marvel, I feel like, makes us angry. So, with that being said, what are some recent announcements in the film world, in the show world, that has you excited? I'll go first, because I have two. As anybody knows, I love Jodie Comer. I love Killing Eve. Jodie Comer, close to EGOT. She's so talented. She is set to star with Hugh Jackman in a Robin Hood reimagining, the death of Robin Hood, for the Quiet Place Part One director. And I read the description of this. It sounds so amazing. I'm excited. It's supposed to be like a darker reimagining of the Robin Hood tale. It's set of its time. The film will see blah, 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 blah. Just said blah, 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 blah out loud. I don't want to spoil anything, but like, essentially, she's like, how do I explain it here? It kind of reminded me of the movie Misery, just a little bit. So we're going to see the title character, which would be Hugh Jackman, grappling with the past after a life of crime, murder. This loner who finds himself gravely injured and is in the hands of a mysterious woman who offers him a chance at salvation. And this is set to start production in 2025. It sounds interesting, but it reminds me of Misery, which I'm not hating. I just want Jodie Comer in more things, and I feel like she does smaller things. So I'm excited to see what she does outside. Still sad she's not Sue Storm, but whatever. And the next one I was really excited to see was Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy are going to team up in a movie, which is set to be filming next week. And this is based on the Fairway Tree series of novels for children. The film will follow Polly and Tim and their children, Beth, Joe, and Fran, a modern family who finds himself forced to relocate to a remote English countryside. Ooh, it looks so good. And soon after the family's arrival in the countryside, the children discover a magical tree. And it's extraordinary. Ooh, I'm like reading it again. It's so good. I'm not going to read any more of it because I'm excited for it because I love Claire Foy and I love Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield is freaking phenomenal. His range is so great.
Mm-hmm. How has he not won an Oscar yet? I would not know.
I still think his best performance is probably Tick, Tick, Boom. And I don't even like musicals like that. Usually depends, but I still think that is probably his best performance.
I have to agree with you. And I felt like it was really overlooked by the awards. And I feel that Netflix doesn't pick the right films to push. Like, I'm going to just say it. Maestro, thank you, Emma Stone, for allowing me to say it like that, should never have been nominated for anything. And they should have pushed Fair Play. If you watch Fair Play, you're going to see why that should have been their award push.
Yeah.
That's probably Netflix's best film. And I don't even think it's a Netflix original. Maybe it is. I don't know. But that's I think the girl from Bridgerton's in it. But that's a movie that makes a star, is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
It's like they're both work in finance, but they're together, they're going to get married, but she gets promoted over him, and so he kind of becomes jealous. He's like supportive at first, but he like becomes jealous, and it like gets really intense. It's so good.
Netflix, they need to up their game with their films, because there isn't a whole lot of theirs that I liked.
Oh my gosh. Maestro was so bad. How did it get nominated for anything? Bradley Cooper does not have the talent.
I think Bradley Cooper is phenomenal, but yeah, I didn't really hear a lot of good things about that film.
I wish I turned it off. He's good in like Silver Linings Playbook. That movie's phenomenal. But some of the stuff like he's appearing in is like, ooh, what is he picking? Like Licorice Pizza, he's in there for like 5 minutes. That was a horrible movie. I still couldn't tell you what it's about. But Maestro was pretty bad. It's like barely anything about him. Like Tar was a better conductor movie, and it was fake. It's based off a fake girl.
And the, oh my gosh, the fake stuff that they put on his face, it did not look good.
Mm-mm. But with all of these, what kind of recent announcements are you looking forward to the most that you saw this week?
I'm really excited about that new film that Ryan Coogler is going to be directing with Michael B. Jordan as his lead actor.
Yes, it's like a vampire movie.
Yes, that sounds phenomenal. And the cast is amazing. You got Hailee Steinfeld. God, I can't remember the guy's name. He played on, got it right here. Played in Drive Away Dolls.
Okay.
Oh, Coleman Domingo.
Oh yes, I know who you're talking about. I like him.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it looks it sounds amazing.
It does. I'm excited to see Hailee Steinfeld and stuff again. I feel like we haven't seen her for a while, but I want to see her do more serious stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry, Pitch Perfect was not it. I'm sorry, fans of Pitch Perfect, but those movies were not it.
I think her best role is probably The Edge of 17.
I still need to watch that one.
Yeah, it's really freaking good.
I love her in Bumblebee. It's cute.
I think that's like the best version of that's like their version of the Iron Giant.
I know. I love B. He's so cute. I've always loved him. He's my favorite character. Next to the one that Pete Davidson played, Mirage, I loved that character. It was funny. We always need a character like that. I kind of wanted a second one. I hear good things about Dickinson, though, from Hailee Steinfeld. It's just you don't see her in a lot anymore.
Which is completely unfortunate because she's phenomenal.
Yes. I'm excited to see what she does next outside of this, so maybe that will be good. Maybe she could does like Comic-Con appearances, kind of get that spark up, build off that. I mean, obviously, we're going to see her back as Kate Bishop, so that's pretty cool.
And, God, what was the other one that... and I'm really excited for... You know, at first, I thought this movie was, like, really stupid. Mm-hmm. The Twister movie that's coming out this year with Glenn Powell.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the original. I have to watch the original before I watch this one. But seeing how they're trying to tame it instead.
No, you cut out.
I'm still going to watch it anyway.
You cut out before you said the word tamed.
Oh, even the previous Twister movie, even though I haven't seen it, they're building it as some sort of monster, and they're kind of doing it in a sense with this film, but it seems like they're trying to tame it instead. And that's what I like about the difference. So,
they're separated, the two movies. They're not like the same. Does that make sense? Like they're just, it's its own thing. Like it's the same concept, but it's like its own thing, but part of the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. Glenn Powell's really awesome.
It seems like they're trying to, you know, push him towards more action stuff after Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I saw he landed a bunch of other roles that I'm excited for. I think he really does have the acting chops. He just needs that chance to show it. And I think he doesn't want to be like pigeonholed into like a certain rom-com or like action film, which I love.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth, he did it too late, sadly. I feel like he could do really a lot of serious roles, but...
And, Chris Evans, I don't even know what to start with that.
Bad or good?
Bad.
Yeah. I mean,
the only good stuff I like him in is the Marvel films.
Yeah. I think my issue with him is like after seeing him and gathering the ick for him, I will not elaborate on why I have the ick for him. But after I had gathered that, I'm like, wait a minute, he's not that good of an actor. I think it was just like it was kind of like when he was in Not Another Teen Movie, you're like, he's hot. And yeah. Then you're like kind of watching more serious things he's in and you're like, he's not that good. Like I watched Red Sea Diving Resort. That was atrocious. That could have been done so well to pay respects to like the history behind it all, but it really just fell flat. And he's doing that movie with Dakota Johnson and Pedro Pascal. And all I'm going to say is that they do not pick the best movies that they're in. I mean, what were the last movies that Pedro was in? Wonder Woman 1984, which was not good. He picks good shows. He just doesn't pick good movies. Dakota Johnson hasn't been in a good movie in a while. Cha-Cha Real Smooth was okay, but it was really weird. Chris Evans, his last movie was Pain Hustlers, and that was a pain to watch. And then you have Ghosted, which he got a Razzie for. And then I saw that he got like casted with like Anya Taylor-Joy and like Salma Hayek in another movie. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to do good. He doesn't have those acting chops.
Chris Evans?
Yeah.
Pedro, I have all the faith in him. I do agree that he picks better shows than movies. Mm-hmm. The last thing that he was in was Drive Away Dolls, which came out this year, and he was only in it for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mainly because they couldn't afford him.
That's valid. And I mean, he's the Mandalorian, but technically he's only the voice. He's only in the suit like 3% of the time. The other like 97% is Brendan Wayne. So like for the movie, he's just going to lend his voice. So that's kind of like why I'm like not very excited for Fantastic Four, because like I've seen his other movies and I'm just, I don't know. I'm still not on that cast yet. I don't see the vision yet. I'm trying to. But Dakota Johnson, that girl don't pick good movies at all. If you want to watch a really bad movie of her, watch Wounds on Hulu.
Ugh.
I couldn't tell you what happened. I couldn't tell you why I watched it. I just had seen like one specific scene on TikTok, so I was like, I'm gonna watch it. I'm like, what is this movie with like cockroaches and Armie Hammer? I was like, girl, you did not pick a good movie. But I do not have faith in this movie that Chris Evans is in, because I saw snippets of it. I think he's gonna play like some douche. It's gonna be like a rom-com or something with the chick who directed Past Lives, and then he's supposed to play like a cult leader next.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, he has this movie, and then there's like another movie with Aubrey Plaza, and he's like playing a cult leader or something.
Okay, Aubrey, that makes a lot of sense. Aubrey, I love her, but she, like, I'm not gonna lie, she, as hot as she is, she scares me.
She does. I don't get a good vibe from her. I don't know why. There's just a vibe about her that I've just like never, I don't know, just not a scary vibe. It's just a, like an unsettling vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, what was it? I think there was... I thought it was hilarious when they had her and Jenna Ortega present an award at the SAG Awards last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of poked fun of it, and they were like, wow, I wonder why they have us up here presenting this award.
Yeah. I like that one movie she did last year. I can't remember the name of it. It was on Netflix. It's not a Netflix movie, but it was on Netflix. It's not a movie that a lot of people knew about, I think. But we'll see what happens with that. There was like the other girl from the... I want to say she's in the Driveway Dolls too. I can't remember her like main name or something. She's like Bassoots with Io Adebri or something like that. But I'm like, ooh, I'm not seeing the Vision. And then I saw like him casted in a different movie with Anya Taylor-Joy, Salma Hayek, and like another stellar actor. And I'm like, I don't think Chris Evans can match Anya Taylor-Joy.
I don't think. Like,
she's a good actor. He's a rom-com guy. He's meant for rom-coms.
The last good thing I liked him in was Knives Out.
Knives Out is good. It's good if he's in like an ensemble cast. If he's not in an ensemble cast, he's not going to do good. He's not going to shine. Because like, look what he did to Emily Blunt. Like, he made Emily Blunt's performance look so bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't... I mean, I definitely would not want to, you know, be a part of a shitty movie with a shitty actor.
Yeah, and on top of that, he has Red One coming up with The Rock.
Oh, my God.
$250 million budget for what? And he's late 7 to 8 hours a day, allegedly. Honestly, I buy it. And the fact that I heard that allegedly Ryan Reynolds had a fight with him, I also buy it. And the whole Black Adam thing, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense.
They were right.
No, you got... Ah! You cut out after I stopped speaking.
You're back.
You cut out after I stopped speaking.
Yeah, I heard you.
No, you were speaking. I didn't hear you after that.
Oh, I said that they were right about, I mean, this ridiculous stuff that Dwayne has in his contracts that he can never lose a fight in his movies. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, ugh. My limit with him is The Game Plan. I'm very serious when I say that's his best movie.
You said The Game Plan?
Yeah, that is his best movie, and I've said what I've said. I will take no comments or questions at this time.
I actually think his best movie is... God, what is it? Central Intelligence.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that one I actually enjoyed.
I have a complaint.
Because I wasn't expecting it to be good at all, and I actually thought it was pretty funny. And Kevin Hart
though. I tried. I couldn't watch it.
I mean, it could have ended up worse, but that movie is way better than
San Andreas or like The Skyscraper. Kevin Hart is funny, though, when he wants to be.
But I think that, Kevin, I would like to see him do more dramatic roles, like The Upside and Father's Day.
That movie. I think he has a lot of good potential. It's just, will he take that risk? There's a lot of actors that don't want to take that risk and look silly and have bad reviews. Ryan Gosling is one that's willing to take those risks and look silly.
Right.
Because, like, he did La La Land. He did First Man. He's done Lars and the Real Girl, which I think is one of his best movies he's ever made. It's hilarious. You just got to watch it if you haven't seen it. It's amazing. And he's done so many fantastic movies.
Would you say Ryan Gosling
mm-hmm.
is there are actors that are character actors and there are actors that play themselves. Would you say he's a character actor or would you say he plays himself?
I think he's a character actor. Ryan Reynolds would play himself. Chris Evans plays himself. Dakota Johnson plays herself. Jennifer Lopez plays herself. Hello.
Yeah, okay. What were you saying?
I was listing off actors that play themselves. I think Ryan Gosling, he's a character actor. Characters that literally play themselves. Ryan Reynolds, Chris Evans, Dakota Johnson, Jennifer Lopez is...
Oh my God.
She is that one. She made a movie about a movie that was basically a dream in her brain that should have just stayed in her brain.
Right.
I didn't watch it. I feel bad for Ben Affleck. But then again, he kept his love letters.
And God, what was it? Samuel Jackson, he plays himself, but he's very entertaining.
He is. I felt like it's just a fun time in whatever movie that he's in. Like Django Unchained, hilarious actor.
And also, I think Denzel Washington plays himself a lot, but I've never heard anyone say that
he's a bad actor.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just one of those that are really good. It's a lot of the funny guys that kind of play themselves. It's like Dakota Johnson or like Aubrey Plaza. They're practically playing themselves. Like, you don't know when it's really them.
Right.
Like, and literally, White Lotus, that's Aubrey Plaza. That's not her character. That's Aubrey Plaza. You cut out.
I think that, I was going to say, I think that when a lot of actors that usually play the same characters or usually play themselves a lot, usually when they go and play a different role, they usually always knock it out of the park. And I absolutely love it when that happens.
I agree. But is Ryan, Chris, Jennifer, Dakota? I feel like Dakota could do it if she's pushed enough, but I don't think she cares. She's just that type that I don't think gives two craps.
She has all the potential in the world. It's just that they're giving her bad, very bad scripts.
Cha-Cha Real Smooth is a good movie. That's an Apple Plus, an Apple TV movie, which I thought was really, it was a knock out of the park in my opinion. But like, you're like looking at some of these movies and you're like, why do they pick this? And you're like, oh, it makes sense for the paycheck. Like I just know Pain Hustlers was picked because of the paycheck that Chris Evans and Emily Blunt weren't going to get paid.
Yeah, I would. It's funny because a lot of actors that have done like really bad movies and have even said, like, even they'll have fans come up to them and be like, oh man, that movie was not it.
And you want fans like that. I mean, obviously you don't want fans that are going to be very disrespectful or anything like that. You want the honest fans because the movies are being made for the fans. And one thing that Brie Larson said is that, like, there's, like, certain movies that aren't made for certain people. Like, you're going to tell me a old white dude is going to critically review The Notebook? It's not made for you.
Right.
It's made for the people who love and sappy stories and Nicholas Sparks or, like, Wrinkle in Time. Like, it's not made for you. Like, there's, like, the lack of diversity, and I'd rather have an honest opinion about my work than rather somebody lying to me and me getting the paycheck. But I think I would be one of those who are, like, wanting to be better as an actor. Hello? Did I lose you again? Hello, hello. 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 Oh, I lost him. You're back.
Okay, sorry about that.
You're back. Oh, gosh.
But, God, like I was saying, I remember they asked Denzel what was his worst film, and he didn't want to say, he didn't want to give an answer, but he just said that he did a lot of bad films just in order to... You know, he basically said, well, you know, I've done a lot of bad films, but, you know, you got to put food on your table.
That's true. But I always appreciate, like, the actors, so, like the ones that work with Wes Anderson, they're not doing it for the paycheck. They're doing it because he's a good director.
Right.
And I appreciate actors like that. But I get what Denzel is saying. I'm sure he has a movie in his mind. Hopefully it's not Flight, because I really enjoy Flight. Or Remember the Titans. I love that movie. Anyways, but I think that's it for the show this week. Do you have any other remaining things in your brain you want to get out?
I need to finish. Once I finish the two remaining Star Wars films and I think the Andor series, I'll probably do a ranking because I'm late on that. But I already have Phantom Menace at the bottom. And
that is valid, but that will change. Letting you know that.
And number one is still going to be Rogue One. And I didn't think I was going to love... Finn, he started off so great, but something tells me that after that film, there's a reason why he left.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that's it for this week's shows of the Midcaster. We talk all things that are mid and cinematic. I'm Jalen, and you can check me out on Twitter at Jalen Sanderson, or the Tick of the Talk at Lost in Love Translation, or Letterboxd at Sandra Loves Movies. And Craig, where can they find you?
All things of the same name at Craig Jr. 97 on TikTok, Letterboxd, and Instagram as well. And also check out my YouTube, which is completely different, all nerd everything, discuss comic books, film, TV, wrestling, that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. Come back next week for episode 4 of the Midcasters. Again, I'm Jalen, and this is
Craig, your favorite movie, one of your favorite movie reviewers and comic book reviewers.
Awesome, guys. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.